Support comes from Hampton Roads Community Foundation, carrying out your charitable wishes forever. Whether it's helping shelter animals, feeding the homeless, enhancing the arts, or supporting students. Learn more at leaveabequest.org.
Hello, everyone. I'm Barbara Hamley. So are you one of those super organized persons who has already started preparing for your Thanksgiving dinner? Is this the first time you've had the pleasure of preparing the feast? Are you looking for a unique twist to an appetizer, a main course, or dessert? Well, get a pen and paper in hand. Jazz great and foodie Jay Sennett is here with some tasty dishes and the music to go along with them. Plus, some tips on making a healthier version of some Thanksgiving soul food staples. Stay tuned. Another View is coming up next after this national, regional, and local news from NPR and WHRO News.
Discussing today's topics from an African-American perspective, this is Another View.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Another View. I'm Barbara Hamley. Tis the season for good food, family, friends, and fun. Thanksgiving is a great time to show off your culinary skills, or it's a time of dread because navigating the kitchen is just not your thing. Well, we've got some help from our very own Jay Sennett, producer and host of Sennett in Session, the R&B Chronicles, and Cooking with Jay. Because guess what? He's a foodie, too. Hey there, Jay.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great, Barbara. I had to laugh at that one.
So it's time for Thanksgiving dinner. Are you cooking a big Thanksgiving dinner?
No.
You're not?
Nope.
Now, why is that, Jay? I mean, you're this foodie. You've always talked about all these great, you know, things that you prepare and so forth. You would think that Thanksgiving would be your thing.
Well, on one funny side, I've been there and done that, right? But cooking Thanksgiving dinner, I grew up in a very, very traditional household, and we had the very, very traditional dishes, right? We had the turkey. We had the mashed potatoes, the mac and cheese. We had the sweet potato casserole. Mm-hmm. We had the cornbread. We had, you know, the cranberry sauce. We had all those things. But that's a lot of work. A lot of work, you know. And I'm pretty much now at a point now where I don't have family around, you know. So I usually get invited to places. So I will make a side dish.
Oh, okay.
I will bring a side dish.
Okay.
I mean, even if I host it at my home, those folks going to have to be bringing something in. I'm like,
we're
who
having
wants to cook
potluck turkey dinner, right?
Somebody got to cook that turkey. You know, I might get a turkey breast, right?
Yeah.
And just season it and bake it. Mm-hmm. But doing the whole turkey, you know, or I might make the stuffing. I have various dressings I make, or the chutneys, or the mashed potatoes. Yeah. And I, now at this point in my cooking, I try to look at, this, you know, the twist, like I'm a traditional guy. I love all those things. Right. But I also like, I'm an artist too, so I like to see where I can take something and how I can manipulate a classic
and enhance the classic and make it a little bit different.
Right. So,
well, we're going to help some folks today, and I'm so excited that you're here because not only are we going to talk about some food, some different recipes, but also when you're in the kitchen, you also have music going on all the time, don't you?
Well, yeah, because it's a backdrop. We people talk about food and wine pairings, for example, all the time. Well, you say, well, Jay, you have this piece of fish. What do you think goes with that? Man, I love this semi-dry Sauvignon Blanc with this halibut, you know, or, you know, we're going to do this marinara sauce, you know. Well, you know, okay, I like a nice Chianti, you know, or nice red, right? But rarely do people talk about music and food pairings. And there's nothing worse, Barbara, when you go to a restaurant, when I go to a restaurant and I sit down and I order this yummy, sophisticated meal, right? And no offense to metal, you know, but Motley Crue or something is playing over the loudspeakers.
Just kind of messes up the atmosphere, right? You know,
it's like, what? No. What's wrong with this? But, or even there's some jazz that I don't like that doesn't work with
dining.
Because it's about creating atmosphere. It's about creating vibe. But with me, I have music that I listen to when I'm prepping, when I'm putting together a dish. Mm-hmm. And I have music that I listen to that's different conceptually when I'm eating.
Ah, okay. So when you're prepping, the music, I would think, kind of gets you in the mood for doing it, or it stirs up the creativity, or what?
Well, it's a little more upbeat, mm-hmm. right? Because I'm prepping, I'm into a deep thought process about how I'm creating these flavor profiles. I'm moving a lot, so there's a lot of physical activity. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes I get into a dish not exactly sure where I'm going to go with it. And as I'm thinking and putting these things together, I need that music that doesn't get in my way, doesn't get in the way of my thought processes, mm-hmm. but it acts as a cushion to my emotional sensibilities at that time, my thought process. It like parallels what I'm thinking. So if I'm putting together one of these dishes that we're going to talk about today, the appetizer, mm-hmm. a soup, a particular soup, I think it's like kind of soulful. So when I'm putting this dish together and I'm stirring it in the pot, I want something that has a medium swing tempo to it, right? Not funky, but just like lightly tipping.
Kind of like that?
Yeah, like that. You know, just like that, actually.
Now, who are we listening to so that folks will know?
I know that your fans are like, of course Jay knows who's playing. Like, yeah, this is Dexter Gordon. I was doing all right.
All right. You know? And, okay, so Dexter's playing in the background, and Dexter's we're going to do some curried sweet potato soup.
Yeah. And I mentioned the sweet potato casserole. Mm-hmm. You and I have had those mm-hmm. growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandmother, my mother made them.
Yes, we used to call ours. My mother used to put a flour and brown sugar
brown
and
sugar,
butter
right,
and stuff
butter,
on the top.
On the top.
And my daughter would call it sweet potatoes with the crunchy stuff.
Right. Well, she's right, though. And so I thought, well, sweet potatoes, you know, a lot of people have sweet potatoes for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So I thought, how about a soup, right? So I thought a sweet potato soup. I said, but that's just a little too plain. So curry and sweet potato works well. So you can look at, or curry in a crock pot, for example, with some golden raisins and, some, you know, brown sugar and that stuff. But the soup, though, it I think has a very interesting, very interesting flavor profiles. Okay. So
by the way, our audience, if you don't worry about having to write it all down, we're going to have these recipes online at anotherviewradio.org. Okay, so what do we need to make the curried sweet potato soup?
I use butter or olive oil, depending on your heat point. You know, if you want to get too hot with your heat point, then butter, not good. You want something that has a little bit higher heat point. Olive oil does more so than butter. But if you really want to get hot, you know, go up to like grapeseed oil or avocado oil or something like that. But mm-hmm. for flavor, I like mm-hmm. kind of mix them sometimes, olive oil and butter. I don't have to get the heat point too high for this dish. Mm-hmm. And I have some onions. I'd chop up some onions. Of course, the curry powder. Mm-hmm. And you can blend that with a little curry paste. Put some red curry paste in there with yellow curry powder, or just use all yellow curry powder. Okay. Now, there are different heat contents in a curry. You know, there's green curry, there's yellow curry, there's red curry. I tend to favor yellow curries.
Okay.
Red curry paste with the yellow curry powder is a nice blend. You're going to get a little bit of heat, but you're also going to get a tad of that sweetness of that yellow curry. Mm-hmm. So to me, for my taste, that's nice. But you don't have to use the red curry paste.
Okay.
Then we have sweet potatoes, of course. Mm-hmm. And you want to boil them to a point where you get them not too soft. You still want them firm because you're going to ultimately puree the whole soup with the onions and everything. Mm. And I use chicken broth. I use some coconut milk. I thought one time about using coconut cream, which is actually pretty good. It'll create a thicker texture, mm-hmm. But you still get the flavor profile there. So you can use the coconut milk or the coconut cream. Mm-hmm. I use some garlic powder, some brown sugar, salt and pepper to taste. And then you get all these things balanced. You cook the sweet potatoes.
Are you thinking about onions, salt, pepper, curry? I mean, you got all these different flavors.
And you don't usually think about that in the context of soup,
right?
Really, but you soften up slightly the sweet potatoes. You saute the onions right in that oil. Mm-hmm. You can put the sweet potatoes in there as well with the onions. Then you add all the other ingredients. Let it simmer for a while. But again, you don't want to get your potatoes too mushy. Okay, you don't want to overcook them. And then you pour everything in a food processor, carefully. I might add. All right, carefully. And puree, get it smooth, and eat away. But you hear this music in the background, just like as we're talking. Like, you just have to imagine this if you're not talking and you're thinking about your ingredients and what you're going to put into this dish. And it that groove, that swing beat, it's just enough to on top of the beat to keep me, help me be motivated and move as I'm moving. It's not getting in my way, right?
Right. But it also, I mean, it just sets a nice vibe.
Sets a nice vibe.
As you're trying to go
just like
through it.
Just like a wine would.
Absolutely.
Music has the same effect in many ways that a wine pairing would have with food.
So while you're prepping this, let's bring the music up a little higher and just listen for a little bit. Right.
See, doesn't that feel good?
Yes, it does. And I could see you in the kitchen.
Right.
Since I had the pleasure of being on Cooking with Jay, so I've seen you work your kitchen. And so it's an experience all its own, audience, I tell you. So before we get to our main dish, let's talk about a couple of sides. How about Jazzy J's curry prosciutto ham potato salad?
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh. I mean, you have some ham or bacon. First of all, you can't go wrong, right?
That flavor. That sounds fabulous.
When people say ham or bacon, I just immediately think flavor, right? So I get some prosciutto ham, and I use Yukon Gold potatoes because I think they give me the best texture and the starch content. It's not overly starchy. Mm-hmm. But you get a good texture in the potato. And it's debatable whether you can leave the skin on or take the skin off. I've seen some people leave the skin on with their potato salad. I take mine off, right? I use some eggs, some hard-boiled eggs, chop them up. Just a little bit of sweet pickle relish, some scallions, mayonnaise, of course. I use some mustard in here. These are more traditional ingredients with the relish, and the mayo and the mustard. Curry powder. That's a twist there. So there's two options that we're using today with curry powder and then the prosciutto ham.
Finely minced and cooked to
crispy. Well, when you get the prosciutto, it's usually very, very thin. Wafer thin sliced, right? Mm-hmm. I dice them up, chop up the layers of the meat, and I cook them I get them really crispy. Right. Just crispy, right? Even just saying that.
That sounds so good.
and after I have pretty much everything mixed well, potatoes are cooked, I'm ready to merge everything. Mm-hmm. I put the prosciutto ham at the last. You know, with the curry. Because I want to maintain crispy. Some of that texture on that crispiness. Mm-hmm. Because if you put the prosciutto in too early in there, it's going to start to soften up, particularly depending on how much of that relish you're using.
And the potatoes, how much should you cook them? Because you want them to remain kind of firm, right?
If you're looking at time, I say around 10 minutes.
Okay.
What I like to do is get a fork and t- take one of the pieces. I cut them in inch or less piece, you know, chunks. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you cut them ahead of time before you
Well, I get the water boiling. Okay. I peel the potatoes and I cut them up.
Okay.
While they're boiling, at about 8 or 9 minutes, I'll take a fork and push one of the pieces against the side of the pan. And if the fork, if I have to put some tension into going through the potato, mm-hmm. I guess you can try to visualize this. Mm-hmm. It's you know, depending on how much exertion I have to use to get the fork to go through that potato. In potato salad, texture is very, very important.
It is.
For the potato.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, it is. Nothing worse than a mushy potato.
Than a mushy potato salad. You know? So if it goes too easily through that, then you've overcooked your potatoes.
Okay.
So I would start testing at about 7 or 8, 9 minutes. And if it gives you some resistance, but mm-hmm. it ultimately goes through, then you're in a good place. So maybe another few seconds more, and then you're done with the potatoes.
Okay, now
do not overcook your potatoes.
Exactly. Now, what are we listening to as we're cooking our curry prosciutto ham potato salad?
This, what is this? This is still Dexter Gordon, Shiny Stockings.
Yes.
This is actually a Frank Foster composition that he wrote when he was with the Count Basie Orchestra, but. Well, there's no but here. I love Dexter's version. I love the Basie Band's version, but that's a little bit bombastic for this purpose, mm-hmm. right? So this is this. I call it the small ensemble version of Frank Foster's classic. But Dexter, again, as always, swung hard, right? But he never gets in your way. He was one of the most lyrical, soulful tenor saxophonists in jazz. Mm. Always melodic. When I listen to Dexter Gordon play saxophone, it's like I'm listening to a vocalist.
Wow.
Because one of his whole things was remembering lyrics or learning lyrics to the songs that he was playing, if they had lyrics.
Ah.
And to him, and I it took me a minute to get this, but I completely understand it now. When you listen to the way he plays saxophone, it's really like listening to a vocalist. You're not hearing words.
Yep, bring it up. Let's hear it. You're right.
Yeah. He just had that behind the beat phrasing, his tone, beautiful tone, his melodic continuity in his lines, all these things. But the rhythm section, he had Billy Higgins playing drums, and it just swings, man. I mean, just swings. And I love the feeling of swing, right? I'm one of these musicians, jazz musicians, that loves the feeling yeah. of jazz. Yeah. And a lot of people that play jazz, they don't really talk about swing anymore. You know, I'm like, wait a minute. But for me, yeah.
Wow.
And that just keeps my mood in that good place, right?
Absolutely. And you're making some good food, too. Okay, that's one side. We have another side. Jazzy J's and Dewey Sausage Mac and Cheese. Ooh, mercy.
Let me see.
You have
I have this. I know it. I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to make sure I don't forget anything. Who doesn't love mac and cheese?
Absolutely.
Right? And I make my mac and cheese is a couple of different ways, a few different ways. But this one particular way that I make this, I use protein and outside of the cheese, right? Mm-hmm. I use a couple of different cheeses. I use a Gruyere cheese and a cheddar. A sharp cheddar, not a mild cheddar, a sharp cheddar. But with that Gruyere cheese, there's a good blend. And I make my roux with the butter and flour, right? If you don't know what a roux is, it's a thickener, basically. I create my roux, and I ultimately use butter, a lot of butter in mine, about a stick of butter. I use about a quart of milk. Sometimes I will use less milk, like let's say 3/4 of a quart, then add a quarter or 50% mm-hmm. milk, then add cream.
Ah, okay. So make like half and half?
Half and half.
Okay.
Well, not half and half.
Half and half, right.
No, we're going to go all the way on this.
Okay, heavy cream.
Right. That's one way to do it. Then more traditional spices like nutmeg, but I put cayenne pepper in there for heat. That's optional. in your pasta, of course, but I like the andouille sausage. This is my andouille sausage, mac and cheese. I love the flavor. The first time I ever had andouille sausage was down in the Crescent City in the French Quarter, one of those restaurants. I didn't know what it was. This was decades ago. And I said, oh, this is andouille sausage. And I'm like, wow. Oh, it had kind of a kick to it, kind of spicy, but the smoky quality. And over time, I just fell in love with this sausage and started using it in different dishes. And I came up with the idea, man, why don't I put it in mac and cheese?
That sounds fabulous.
Yeah, so with the onions and the sausage, you know, finally dice up the sausage.
Mm-hmm.
And then you build that structure around it, and it's incorporated in it.
What's your secret to making the pasta just the right texture?
You boil the pasta. Like, let's say, I tell people how long they should cook the pasta. Follow directions on a box. It's going to give you, you know, that al dente texture, right? Mm-hmm. But for mac and cheese, let's say the pasta says you have to cook it for 12 minutes. I say 6 minutes, 7 minutes. Just cook
because you're going to bake it.
Because you're
going
to put it in and all that cheese anyway, right? Mm-hmm. And it's going to continue cooking. Same with the potatoes and potato salad. You don't want overly mushed up noodles.
Exactly.
You know, in mac and cheese.
Yeah.
So you want to get them to where they're not quite done in a boiling pot of water. Take it out, and then you eventually fold it in with your cheese mixture, with the sausage and the onions.
Oh, man.
You know, yeah, it's one of those dishes. And salt and pepper to taste, of course. And I put it with the flour and the butter for the roux.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the gist of it. You know, again, you can see these recipes online.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What's that website again?
That would be anotherviewradio.org. Absolutely. And we're listening to the Yellow Jackets these hands.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of clever, you know. But I love
because that's something that's very important, though, talking about in terms of cooking, too. You got to use your hands.
Got to use your hands. So the song is called With These Hands, but it's just... it's another one of these mood creators, you know. It doesn't get in my way because it's like when you're reading or when you're writing, and I write a lot, either, you know, just articles or features or music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want when I'm writing music, I don't have music playing.
Okay, right. So, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because that would get a little confusing.
Right. If I'm if I'm reading or if I'm cooking, then I want the music that doesn't get in my way, but creates a special kind of aural atmosphere for me that parallels my mood. Mm-hmm. And so With These Hands, I love the track. I love the writing. I love the band, the Yellow Jackets. And I love these guys, man. And so when I'm cooking, they're a feel-good band. Mm-hmm. Not every song. Right, not every song. I pick out like this one in particular, or a couple more we have on our list here. Put it on while I'm making these dishes, and it works well.
It just sounds wonderful, and the food. You know, I wish I'm almost sitting here wishing we had like samples, dude.
Yeah. I've been running out of here to eat. That's for sure.
How much tasting do you do while you're cooking?
Didn't you say something about that to me before? Because I know, you know Mary Jo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember Mary Jo?
Mm-hmm.
She used to do some sous chef things with me. And we would do some cooking events, you know, mm-hmm. for the station.
Mm-hmm.
And she pulled me aside one day in somebody's house. I don't know where we were, Gloucester or somewhere, cooking for this family. And she said, how come you never taste your food while you're cooking? I gave her that deer in the headlight look. And I said, you know, I didn't even realize... You know, I guess because I had been making some of those dishes for so long that, you know, you do this long enough, I can pretty much, you know, I can see. It's the visual. I can see. I can see how much salt I'm putting in here. I can see how much, you know, nutmeg I'm putting in here. I can see how much butter I'm putting in here. So I know what that's going to taste like. right? I've been doing this a long time. You know, I've been cooking, Barbara, for almost 30 years.
Wow.
You know, people don't
really
know that.
But that's really interesting, though, that still, I would still think that you'd want to taste it just to make sure.
Well, no? If I have the slightest bit of doubt, or for example, if somebody says, okay, they're salt sensitive, okay, yeah. I will definitely taste that. I will go under in the visual, right? And I'll taste it and said, man, that's even for a light sodium deal, it could use a little bit more salt. Mm-hmm. So in situations like that, or if I'm using a spice or an herb that I don't use frequently, like thyme, oregano, you know, parsley, cilantro. I mean, I use all those constantly, onions, but you get, like I made this pasta bake recently where I use fennel. I took some fennel seeds, right? And that has like an interesting kind of licorice.
Yeah, and you have to be very careful with that.
Very
though,
careful because
if you overdo it, it'll overpower.
Same with allspice. Same with allspice. It can overpower your food, right? Mm-hmm. So dishes like that, I will taste.
You will taste those. Okay. If you're listening to Another View, please hold your calls and enjoy Jazzy J's holiday recipes because we're having a good time talking about food and music together for the holidays. So let's move on to a main dish because this really sounds interesting. So instead of the turkey or the ham or in addition to, right? Jazzy J's pear chili turkey meatloaf with pomegranate pepper glaze. That's a lot.
That's a mouthful, right? And when I eat it, my mouth is always full, right? But a boom. I got this idea, interestingly enough, from Julia Childs.
Oh.
Right? Julia Childs.
Childs. That's right. Childs.
Julia Childs. I saw her make a chicken meatloaf, and she used apples. She diced up some apples in there and some tarragon and a bunch of other stuff. The French, you know, she was a master French chef, you know, because she hung out with Jacques Pepin a lot, learned a lot from him and several other great French chefs. But knowing French cuisine, you could spend hours in the kitchen, just creating a sauce, man, you know? And I got this idea from her, and I thought, wow, what an interesting concept in interpreting meatloaf. She used poultry, chicken. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, I want to do mine with turkey, right? Substitute turkey. And I was thinking several years back, variations on traditional Thanksgiving
dinners.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't feel like dealing with a big turkey. So I'm in a grocery store and I saw some ground turkey. It's okay. Yeah. I mean, what can I do with this? I said, I'll make a turkey meatloaf. But I remember Julie put those apples in it, but I love pears. And pears will give you that same kind of sweetness. I use Bosc pears.
Okay.
But you have to be careful because you can put too much moisture. You can get
and
a lot of moisture
it,
in there.
It'll make it runny.
Right? But it's still... But interestingly enough, when you bake the dish and you take it out and you eat it, you don't get a crunchy texture from the pear. So it merges and blends in beautifully with the
protein. Kind of like the breadcrumbs do?
Right, exactly. Okay. And I use panko breadcrumbs in the dish to act as a binder along with the egg.
So what do we need to put in there?
Ground turkey. I use an egg. Egg acts as the binder. I use panko, but you can use plain breadcrumbs. I don't use seasoned breadcrumbs because there's enough.
Because you're gonna have
enough seasoning
in there.
I use Dijon mustard, Worcestershire sauce. That's something you don't hear often used with turkey.
Sure.
Worcestershire sauce, but in this meatloaf context, it's very, very interesting. Bosc pear, as I said. Poblano chili pepper. Okay. Mm. Yeah, dice up that. It has some mild heat. It doesn't, you know, it's not going to burn the pink off your tongue. Yellow onion, garlic, finely minced up. Tarragon. I got that concept from.
You like that sweet and savory together.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's French. That's a big part of French cuisine, right? Mm-hmm. And I use cumin in here as well, coriander. That's the match made in heaven. Rarely do I use one or the other, one without
with
the other. Right. But I used a smoked cumin, right? And I get the seeds and I use my pestle and, mm-hmm. and just grind them up. But you can buy it in a powder form. Mm-hmm. Butter, I use some butter in there, salt and pepper, and some, what Julia did, I'm thinking about this, trying to remember. She also put scallions in it. She used two different kinds of onions. She used a yellow onion and she put scallions in it. I didn't put scallions in this. Mm-hmm. But you could. You know, you could. And that's the gist of the meatloaf. Then you combine everything.
Combine everything together.
Yeah, mix it
using
up.
Using those fingers.
Using those. I love touching my food, too. I love touching my food. A lot of people think, oh, no, that's nasty. Don't do that. No, I'm touching my food all the time. My hands are clean.
Yeah.
And I won't do that as much if I'm cooking for other people. You know, I trust myself.
But how do you, can't make meatloaf without messing it together yourself.
Well, you can. You can get a spoon way. Right.
Got to throw some soul in there, Jay.
I know. You don't have to tell me that. You know, I'm there. But I get it. You know, how mm-hmm. people see that, mm-hmm. you know, perceptions and everything. But mm-hmm. I like mixing everything in because you can actually feel how things are merging, too, with your hands. Mm-hmm. Again, if you do this long enough, you can mm-hmm. get all these sensibilities and these sensations.
So do you make it into a big patty?
I get a loaf pan.
Loaf pan. Okay.
With 9 by whatever loaf pan.
Okay.
And I lightly grease the inside of the pan, put the loaf in. I preheat my oven to 350. Mm-hmm. I bake it for about 40 minutes or your desire of doneness. And you know, you can get a meat thermometer and put it in. Usually about 145 is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And this dish isn't finished though.
Mm.
Yeah, because while the meatloaf is baking,
okay.
I'm making the there's a sauce that goes with this. And that sauce, it's a pomegranate pepper glaze. Now I'm a fruit lover. You know, I can't if I'm addicted to anything, it's fruit. I can eat fruit all day and all night. So many different kinds of fruit. Mm. So I use 100% pomegranate juice. Mm-hmm. Which is easy to find in a grocery store. Mm-hmm. I put some honey in here as well, some little bit of garlic powder, some red pepper flakes, a little bit of ginger, a little bit of lime juice, and cornstarch, just a little bit of cornstarch, just a thickener,
Mm-hmm.
And in a saucepan, my small little saucepan, you stir it fairly frequently until everything blends, and you can adjust these seasonings. You might, if the pomegranate juice and the lime juice are too much tart, you need to add a little bit more honey, so forth. Mm-hmm. But those are the ingredients, pepper flakes, the ginger, lime juice.
And then do you just pour the sauce over the meatloaf?
And you can get it as thick as you want.
You can
create your, but here's the thing. When it's cooking, a lot of people make the mistake of adding cornstarch directly into the dish. Now you want to create, I put the cornstarch in with the pomegranate juice on the side and stir it in there. And then gradually, if I need any more thickener, I add it in that way.
Gotcha.
And I'm just drawing a blank, right? What's it? It starts with an S. Oh, I just went a blank. Okay. creating, which it creates the thickener.
Okay.
The thickness. Okay. Somebody will be calling and writing me.
Exactly.
Reminding me what that is. But that pomegranate pepper glaze over that ground.
And do you put it over it as soon as you take the meatloaf out, or do you let the meatloaf set for a minute, or?
Just for a little while, because sometimes, you know, if it's too hot, it might break apart a little bit faster than you want it to. So just let it sit for 5 minutes, mm-hmm. rest for 5 minutes or so, and it settles in. Take it out of the pan, then you can slice it, get it on your plate, but the sauce, hot, definitely.
Mm.
Pour that sauce over that slice of turkey meatloaf. Get out of here.
Okay, so we've been listening to New Rochelle by the Yellow Jackets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's play that a little bit. Let our audience kind of get in the mood. I could see cooking to this, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just kind of feel the beat.
You You know what that instrument is called? That's an EWI. EWI.
And what is an EWI?
It's an electronic wind instrument.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that gets that sound. You know, it's not a saxophone, but it's a, you blow into it, electronic wind instrument.
Right.
But Bob Mincer plays that beautifully.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've done some sides. We have an appetizer. We have a main dish. And now we have to
one more side before
Okay. That works.
I make these flavored butters, right?
Flavored butters.
Yeah, where's my list for that? Those butters. I didn't bring that. I thought I brought it, but it's pretty easy.
Okay, so talk to me about
that. One thing that I like to do, particularly like on desserts, like I'll make a Grand Marnier butter. Right?
That sounds like butter and Grand Marnier.
If you make a muffin or anything, any bake, you know, even on banana bread.
Oh.
You know, you can make this Grand Marnier butter, it's Grand Marnier and butter. You get the butter, it's fairly soft,
mm-hmm.
pour it in there, mm-hmm. mix it in, and it firms up, and you can spread it.
So you pour the Grand Marnier on top of the butter?
Well, you get the butter room temperature, where you can stir it,
okay.
right, and blend.
Okay.
And you blend that Grand Marnier inside the butter, right, and mm-hmm. let it sit, and it firms up a little bit
mm-hmm.
As the butter cools off.
Mm-hmm.
And you could spread it on top of banana bread, your muffins, your cornbread.
You know, it's the simple things like that, though, but it adds such a different layer and a different texture and a different enjoyment
for a lot of desserts. You know, like cinnamon butter is another one for desserts,
mm-hmm.
But more for more or blackberry butter, like or raspberry butter, right?
Mm.
You just blend in the raspberry, stir it in. And mix it in with that butter, spread it over toast or biscuits.
Great brunch meal for the next day.
You know, there's garlic butter, obviously, that's a popular one.
Yeah.
But there are so many different things you can do with butter that a lot of people don't think about.
Mm.
You know, I take some herbs like that tarragon butter. I made another, what did I make recently? What butter I made not too long ago? I know I did the Grand Marnier butter.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to try that because that sounds really good.
Yeah, and that's more for sweets, not so much of a savory thing, but you can try it
mm-hmm.
and it might work.
And see what happens. Mm-hmm. So this is Savannah,
Savannah, yeah.
So the Yellow Jackets, pretty much you can put that album on and just
this
go to
town. This is Blue Hats. This is from the Blue Hats record.
Okay.
And again, remember what I said at the beginning of the show, particularly for those who are just tuning in.
Mm-hmm.
I said there's... A concept of music I listen to when I'm prepping and cooking food. And then there's a concept that I use while I'm eating,
okay.
which is usually very, very different. Like when I'm sitting and eating, you hear this track playing right now. See, I don't want something that upbeat. I want something.
That's a little too.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into some examples of eating in just a minute. Let's talk about this amaretto bread pudding with blackberry citrus glaze first as our last prep for this dinner. Now that sounds sinfully delicious.
Yeah, this is a. You know, I've over the past 7 months, Barbara, when I was creating my business, the Cosmopolitan Palette, that's mm-hmm. my business, and you can visit, you know, if you want to check it out.
Tell us the website.
The CosmopolitanPalette.com.
Okay.
CosmopolitanPalette.com. You can see what I'm doing with it's an in-home chef where mm-hmm. I go to people's homes and I cook for like events, anniversaries, birthdays, that kind of thing, from 1 to 10 people.
Mm.
Or 2 to 10
nice.
People, right? Never got asked to cook for one person, right? But and I go in, the palate goes in, and I send them a menu, or they can pick menu items off the
website.
Palate website.
Mm-hmm.
But one area when I was formulating my recipes, when I was putting my recipes together, one area that was kind of slack, my desserts. And I never thought about it until I actually saw everything in front of me. I said, wow, I don't have many desserts. I had maybe three dessert options. One was creme brulee.
Mm-hmm.
I make a ridiculously good, if I say so my own self, a flourless black raspberry Chambord chocolate cake, which is like, it looks like a very sophisticated brownie, because right? it's flat, because it's flourless, right? You don't have the rising agent, but and texturally it's kind of like a brownie too. But oh man. And it's rich, though.
Whew. I was going to say,
a lot
sounds,
of eggs and a lot of butter
rich.
And a lot of chocolate. But and one or two more, and that was all I had. So I said, you know, I have to upgrade my dessert making. And I thought, why don't I have a lot of desserts? And I don't eat a lot of desserts. Mm. In fact, if I make desserts, people who are real close to me, who know me, I give away 90%.
Really? Because you're just not a sweet eater.
I love sweets, don't get me wrong, but I'm very disciplined. I'm a very disciplined eater, you know.
Well,
it's hard. It's
too,
hard
because when you're looking at meals like this, if you ate,
people always ask me, so Jay, well, how do you stay so slim? I'm not, you know, I'm almost 6'4", 240 pounds, so I'm not slim, you know, but I'm also a drummer, so I'm physically active.
Yeah,
got to be physically active. But eating like this, Barbara, particularly with desserts. That's a whole other aspect of this, the cooking thing, is the health.
Is it easier to cook the main dishes as opposed to desserts? I mean, in other words, do you have to have a baking flair in order to do well in desserts?
Well,
what do you think?
Baking is, it's true. You'll hear chefs say baking is more of an exact science.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I measure 95% of the time.
When you're baking,
when
as
I'm
opposed
baking,
to when
as
you're
as opposed to when
cooking.
I'm making a savory dish or something like that. But when I'm making desserts,
over
90% of the time, I am definitely measuring. A teaspoon of baking soda, for example, half teaspoon of baking powder, you know, quarter teaspoon of salt, cup and a half of sugar. I've gotten good at seeing sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can pour sugar into a batter
and
say
pretty much no,
no,
when you got
right.
enough. Yeah.
But baking powder, baking soda, or I can see vanilla flavoring, for example, or almond extract or vanilla extract, something like that. I can see. I've gotten good at seeing those, but there are still something. Flour. I will measure flour, right? So I had to upgrade my dessert category. And I started thinking about, like, well, what do I like to eat? Like, I was thinking about things growing up. And one of the things, one of the dishes that my grandmother made for me that, I get goosebumps when I think about it.
I was going to say, bring the smile to your face.
Was her bread
now.
Pudding.
Oh.
My grandmother made this amazing bread pudding. And my grandmother was interesting. She's an interesting woman. She was born in the South, in Florence, South Carolina.
Mm.
One of 12 children.
Wow.
She was what I would identify as a master Southern home cook.
Oh, wow.
And will cook. I would put her up against
anybody.
Master Southern cook chef, right? There are interesting criteria that some people place with what makes you a chef. I know so many self-trained chefs, you know, that didn't go to culinary school, right? Most of them work in a restaurant, and chefs will generally say you're not a chef unless you work in a restaurant. I kind of personally disagree with that, but I get that. That's kind of a purist thought, but I get it, you know? But her bread pudding, I was like, man. So I can make a bread pudding like she made the bread pudding. But I, knowing me.
You got to add something different.
I got to do something different to it. So I created my amaretto bread pudding with a blackberry citrus glaze. There's that fruit connection again. And I use, I get French bread, a baguette, a few baguettes.
Okay.
And I let it get maybe 2 days old. So it starts to firm up a little bit. Cut it into like 1-inch pieces. There's a lot of eggs in here. I put about 4 or 5 eggs in, half a cup of brown sugar, and maybe 3/4 cups of white sugar. Now, I like mixing my sugars. In most of my desserts, I mix brown and white sugar. You know, it puts a whole different
taste to it.
flavor profile into it.
Milk. 2% milk.
2% milk.
Okay.
I don't know why I do that, because I'm putting buttermilk in there, and then I'm putting
and
heavy
cream. That's why. And you're trying to hold it back.
And then I use, you can find this in some grocery stores or you can order it. It's a combination of bourbon, it's a bourbon vanilla extract.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Bourbon vanilla extract. Then I use almond extract. Then I use, obviously, amaretto. Then a touch of cinnamon. There's some butter in here. Heat the oven to about 325. Get the cube bread in a large bowl. In another bowl, combine the milks, you know, the cream, the vanilla flavoring, the vanilla extract, the almond extract, and the amaretto stir. Then I add the sugars. I stir to blend in a separate bowl. I beat the eggs. Add eggs to the milk mixture, pour the mixture slowly. I just like seeing that liquid go over that bread, right? And then once it's all over the bread, once you stir it around until you get the bread, you know, pretty much covered with the liquid, then you let it sit for about 15, 20 minutes.
Ah, before you bake it.
Before you bake it.
Okay.
All right, you get a baking dish. I put butter in that baking dish, of course. To coat the bottom and some of the sides. Then I add that bread pudding mixture, and I bake at 350 for about an hour.
Okay.
But you can check it, and the top pieces of the bread will start to get brown. Now, there's another component to this dish.
The sauce.
The secret sauce.
The secret sauce. I use blackberries for this. There's that brown sugar element again. I add brown sugar. About a cup and a half blackberries, third a cup of brown sugar. Again, these recipes are where, Barbara?
Oh, at anotherviewradio.org.
Instead of you trying to, like you said, to begin trying to write these things down,
exactly.
What I'm saying, you can see them online. I use orange rind, some zest of an orange. Added some, that's the citrus right there. A couple tablespoons of water. So the blackberries, the brown sugar, the orange zest, or even the orange rind. Take few pieces of the orange rind and put it in there and heat, stirring until the sugar is dissolved. Then you mash the blackberries with a fork or masher. Heat about 5 minutes. Add about four tablespoons of butter in there. Okay, this is dessert now.
Right? Folks, you're only going to eat this once a year.
then you add a quarter cup of that heavy cream and a teaspoon of the amaretto in with this blackberry
with the
sauce too. And you stir until heated through and butter is melted, 3 to 5 minutes. Cool, keeping it warm. When that bread pudding, you put it in a bowl, a dish, and you spoon.
That sounds so good.
You spoon that blackberry citrus glaze over that bread pudding.
Now,
that's a dangerous piece of food.
I was going to say that just said, but because you're back at the diamond, you're at the Thanksgiving table at this point. Hopefully, you wore sweats. Now, we're listening to Autumn Serenade, I think, by John Coltrane, and with Johnny Hartman on vocals. Is that what we're hearing now?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, would you listen to this while you're eating?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let's listen. Boy, I tell you, then it's nap time.
then it's good night.
Audience, just again, don't worry. You can find all of these recipes at anotherviewradio.org. And also, Jay, we want to put your playlist on there, too, so that people will know listen to.
One that we didn't get to hear that let me get a chance to get a plug in.
Okay, no problem.
Because
let's see if we can get it in, because we got about 4 minutes left. So
this is one of my pieces from our brand new recording.
Ah.
My quartet, my 0-60 quartet, did a concert with the Symphonicity Orchestra.
Oh, fantastic.
It's live at the Sandler Center. It just debuted on the charts, actually, this past week.
Fantastic.
Which was completely unexpected to me because jazz radio doesn't usually play things with orchestra, right?
Wow.
It's so when I saw it on the chart, I was like, whoa, it's like under one of the most added categories.
Excellent. Yeah.
And I was playing the CD in my home one day and I was eating something and this particular track came on. It's called See It Through, but and I was just eating. And you know how something kind of creeps in your subconsciousness or out of your subconsciousness? and it just eases. Can we listen to this right here, sure, where Steve comes in,
sure,
while you're eating your food?
I can picture the table, candles, you know, people just having great conversation, mm-hmm, but it just, yeah, sets the mood.
This is the new CD, Jay Sennett's 0 to 60 Quartet with the Symphonicity Orchestra live at the Sandler Center. And Steve Wilson is playing saxophone. Alan Farnham did the orchestrations. I wrote all the music. Terry Burrell's playing bass, and Symphonicity out of Virginia Beach, down the Sandler. Yeah.
And plus,
the record kind of has a holiday vibe to it, even though we're not playing holiday music. Mm-hmm. But with the orchestra and the way we merged the two groups together, it just has that feel-good vibe.
That is great. Okay, we got 2 minutes left. If somebody's nervous about being in the kitchen, what do you tell them?
You mean when they're cooking?
When they're cooking.
Man, that's a tough one to answer, Barbara, because I think, I've seen experienced cooks get a little jittery. Mm-hmm. I would say if you're cooking for other people, cook what you know, what you're really, really comfortable with, right?
Yeah.
Like if I know I'm gonna be cooking for someone else, I've already made that dish a few times.
Mm.
So
don't try it the first day on Thanksgiving when you know you gotta serve to people.
Right. No. That's like, what could go wrong here? But if you're cooking for other people, cook what you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or if like let's say a week out, if you want to try something new, then is the time to try it.
So listening to this show, they've got about a week or so to be able to try some of these recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what they should do, is to try them out first and then get ready for a very different kind of Thanksgiving if you want to do something a little different than the traditional.
Barbara, very quickly, let me just say something.
We got
about
1 minute
this.
Left. Mm-hmm.
For health. Yeah, because I'm so health conscious too when I make the food. Folks, moderation is the key. You know, moderation is the key. You know, you can eat and splurge every now and then, but be cognizant of your sodium intake. Be cognizant of your sugar intake. Be cognizant of your fat intake, because these things can do a lot of harm to us. You know, we're literally making ourselves a sick society. So this, and it doesn't have to be that way. So just pay attention to this stuff.
Just pay attention to what you're doing. And to remind everyone again, you can hear this or see these recipes on our website, anotherviewradio.org. I hope you have a wonderful holiday.
You too, Barbara. And all of you out there.
Absolutely.
Have a good holiday.
And thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.
And we hope you've enjoyed this edition of Another View. Don't worry. If you missed a part of any of the recipes, just go to anotherviewradio.org, where you will find the recipes and Jay's playlist and today's show. So all of that right there at anotherviewradio.org. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our eView newsletter. It's a once a week reminder of upcoming shows. Guess what? The Another View crew is taking a break next week to enjoy Thanksgiving festivities with loved ones. So we will see you in a couple of weeks. Our theme music is an original composition created especially for Another View by Jay Sennett. Lisa Godley is our show producer, and Jordan Christie is our audio engineer. Stay safe, everyone. Pray for those who may be struggling through this season, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And let's get together again in 2 weeks for Another View.
Support comes from Hampton Roads Community Foundation, carrying out your charitable wishes forever. Whether it's helping shelter animals, feeding the homeless, enhancing the arts, or supporting students. Learn more at leaveabequest.org.